The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
1, 2, 3, 4. It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. It feels like it's better, with you. My life, it's better, with you. This is true, it's better, with two. My life, it's better with you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to my brother, and me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
It's a me, your sweet baby brother, Griffin McElroy.
Gosh.
It's a Mario Marty.
Wait, are we talking about Mario?
We're going to do Mario Watch. Did we talk about Mario last week? I don't think.
We talked about how we didn't talk about Mario last week.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Mario. And then tomorrow we're talking about it on Besties, but you have a different skewed view.
We also recorded a whole stream playing Mario, talking about Mario.
You've really got the big plumber on the brain.
The big plumber has really, he really reset the culture for me.
Now, I'll say what's interesting. I would not say his defining feature is big, like as a thing. He's actually quite small compared to Bowser.
No, but he's big in my fucking brain, Travis. I got room for nothing else.
Do you know that 90% of American children pray to Mario more than Jesus?
Huh. That's fucked up.
It's messed up. This is a messed up world.
And you know what? My daughter can't identify Smokey the Bear, but Mario, she knows right away. Skewed.
I showed my daughter a picture of McGruff the Crime Dog, and she said, that Yoshi sucks ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a bad Yoshi.
It was offensive. I showed her a picture of Joseph Gordon Biden, and she was like, is that Mario's dad? It was so weird.
It's like, no.
I was reading the Bible to my boys last night before Butterfly Kisses. And they were like, these aren't cheat codes for Super Mario Brothers. And I was like,
no.
It doesn't all have to be like,
yeah.
And I know you like it when daddy reads you the game facts of all the cheat codes from Super Mario Brothers, but it's Bible time.
Mm-hmm. I showed my daughters a picture of John Leguizamo and I said, is this Luigi? And they said, I don't know. And I said, not in this house.
Oh,
He's not our Luigi.
I did the opposite in my. It's fine. Like, we're obviously on different sides of this issue.
We'll just spend the holidays, the Mario-centric holidays apart. It's fine. We don't have to raise our kids exactly the same.
No. And that's a lesson I think this country, this, like, wild, mixed-up country of ours could learn. It's okay if you don't like or do, like, different stuff from the rest of
There's actually room. I think that there's room to understand that all Luigis are canonical Luigis, right?
Like, yes.
That they are all just different facets of one. Now, there is only one Mario. I mean, obviously, yes. Well, there's only one Mario. But
yeah, and it's Bob Hoskins.
It's Bob Hoskins's. But
they didn't even let John Leguizamo have a mustache.
I like that somebody apparently, I think it was Variety. Variety asked Johnny Legs, like, hey, are you going to go see the Mario movie? And he said, hell no. And here's the thing. Once again, I only read the headline. But it's framed like, oh, John Leguizamo, so upset. But here's the thing. Maybe he's, like, super busy. Or maybe he's like, maybe he doesn't see movies at all anymore. Like, they could have been any movie. And he's like, hell no, they scare me now. I've been in too many of them. I know what it's like. It's scary movies. Movies are scary to me.
He had an amazing quote when he was cast as Luigi where somebody asked him, like, do you think it's a strange casting choice that you are not an Italian gentleman and you'll be playing this Italian character, very famously Italian character? And he was like, Pacino played Scarface. It's fucking great, John.
It's actually John, work, John. That's actually so funny,
hey, John. That's very good, John. Excellent work.
Yeah,
yeah, John. That you full marks. You know, somebody asked Bob Hoskins if he was going to go see the Super Mario Brothers movie, and he said, "You wasted a genie wish to ask me this."
Of course, I am.
I like to think Heaven gets screeners.
No, Travis, because he's dead.
No, I know.
Okay, he passed away. I like to think Heaven gets screeners.
Wait, hold on, Justin. Ghosts can't watch movies?
No, it's just the racist. Way you stepped on my very funny punchline made me feel like you didn't know that what it was.
He wasn't
like you
alive
didn't get
anymore.
It.
No, I got it.
Okay,
good. I like to think that Heaven gets screeners that they all kind of gather around to watch in the Ponderosa, like when they show like new Adam Sandler movies as a reward challenge on Survivor.
Right.
And they can just bring in whoever. Maybe it's like Wednesday nights. They all get together and just watch movies. That's what my heaven.
That's
like
nice,
what
Griffin.
I think. That's what
all
I think
movies.
No, just like the hot new ones.
I love when Survivor shows people movies, and these are people that have looked at crabs for 27 days straight.
Yeah.
So they're like, fucking Jack Black is back in Gulliver's Travels. This is actually the most exciting thing that's happened to me for literal months.
I've eaten nothing but sand and rice for 30 days. Have you guys seen fucking Gulliver's Travels?
They gave us popcorn. I'm high as a fucking kite. This movie fucks. I think it's 6 hours long. Love it. God, have you guys ever really eaten jujubes? These things are wild.
So good.
This is an advice show.
But before we begin.
What?
I have a new game.
No. Oh, man. Really? So early?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good. I prefer to actually do them, like get them out of the way.
Yeah, let's kick it off. So, the other day, I was listening through my Pitbull playlist. And okay. I started thinking about Mr. Worldwide.
Yeah.
And I started thinking about musician nicknames. Uh-huh. And so I've looked up musician nicknames in a game I'm calling Mr. Nickname. And Mr. Okay. Nickname is going to give you the musician appellation. Now, I must clarify, I have no idea what the accreditation of these are, except that they're on a wiki article about nicknames for musicians. But I want you guys to tell me the musician. Are you ready?
Yes, go.
Voice of a generation.
Me?
Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, that would be Christina Aguilera.
Damn it.
What?
King of Slackers.
Okay, John Mayer.
Good guess.
Rivers Cuomo.
Beck.
Okay, yes.
Now, this one, I'm going to give you guys these. There's three here, and I think by the third one, you'll get it. These are three nicknames for the same artist.
Okay.
The Picasso of pop.
The Picasso of pop?
Yeah.
That's Paul Simon.
Carly Rae Jepsen.
The master of reinvention.
Oh, that's Madonna. Madonna.
The same person. Yes. Okay. Griffin.
Justin Timberlake.
Ooh. The king of glam rock.
Me?
A bold choice.
David Bowie.
Huh?
David Bowie.
That's correct, Justin.
Yes!
David Bowie. Justin's on the board.
Woo!
Okay, one more. And this is maybe my favorite nickname for a human being ever. King of the movie soundtrack.
Oh, Jerry Goldsmith.
No.
Hans Zimmer.
Kenny Loggins.
Kenny Loggins?
The king of the movie soundtrack, Kenny Loggins. Now, why do I bring this up? Because I want...
Great point, Travis, because so far there's been no jokes.
Because here's the thing. I can't figure out the right set of search terms to find more nicknames like Mr. Worldwide that someone has given themselves. And I can't find it. I can't find it. And I'm not on Twitter anymore. So I'm using this as a platform. Hey, everyone, email me more nicknames like Mr. Worldwide.
With the source, please.
With a source, so that I can do a fun version of the bit I just subjected you to.
What about Mr. Boombastic?
Who is that? What's the real name of that person, Justin?
Shaggy.
What's I mean, his Christian name.
Shagworth Boombastic.
Shagworth Boombastic.
They call me Mr. Boombastic because my Christian last name is Boombastic, and my first name is Shagworth.
But my father was Mr. Boombastic. Please call me Shaggy.
Call me Shagworth.
Call me Shagworth. Shaggy to my friends.
Only my many lovers call me Shaggy.
We have a platform on this show to do great things.
Yes.
I do not know that submitting our audience to a bad version of a thing and then asking for their help to make it good is something we should ethically sort of do.
But we haven't tried it yet. You know what, Griffin? This is episode 656, a palindrome.
Yeah.
And that's the time to try. I should have waited 10 episodes to do evil things, shouldn't I?
Yeah. Your game's...
Trav, there's a good way to get out of the listeners being mad at you for this.
What's that?
Say it wasn't you.
That's good.
I get it.
Sometimes, Trav, your interests in bits for the show become just trivia.
I don't know, but this is a good point. Why does it have to be funny all the time?
Yeah, man.
Why does it have to be funny all the time? Sometimes it can move you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can learn something.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can have a laugh. It's more like Kathy and Hoda, where you're learning something. You're sitting with friends. You're learning something. You're having an eye opener.
Can I tell you? I don't think Kathy's on it anymore.
Jennifer Garner's new John. Like, what's going on with her?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think Kathy's on it. I don't think Kathy's on it anymore.
Sure.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. The fourth hour is what I'm talking about. The fourth hour, whoever has their hand, a steady hand on the till.
Me?
I watched Al Roker this morning while I was waiting at the dermatologist's office. I watched Al Roker scream out loud for 30 seconds to avoid hearing Succession spoilers.
That's good.
It was really good. They just cut to him. He had his head between his legs like, ah!
I don't even watch that show. I'm about to DM that fool some Succession spoilers for what he's done to me in the past, how he's sort of victimized me in the past.
Yeah. This, I am relieved to inform you, is an advice show, and I am very, very happy to say that we have a whole fresh batch of questions for you.
Hot. So fresh.
I work at a movie theater, and it amazes me how wasteful people are. I've found everything from mostly full popcorn bags to unopened bottles of wine. And that second one is what gets me. Why buy overpriced concessions just to let it get thrown away?
They sell bottles of wine at movie theaters?
Wow.
Sometimes.
It's a good flick. Anyway, I find an unopened candy bar, and my mind gears start to turn, kept safe from surrounding trash, sealed away in its wrapper in a Twix bar. Is it weird for me to take it out and eat it? That's from Cookie Bar Taker in Texas.
I almost don't want to even do this one because you can't say, is it weird to take it out without telling us what you're... A garbage can? Like, if you're taking stuff out of a garbage can, it's really important that you say that. If you just find it on the ground underneath a chair and it's wrapped up in a wrapper, go fucking crazy.
Well, it says sealed away and kept safe from the surrounding trash.
But that Griffin and I have both done cleaning in a movie theater. The surrounding trash also just describes
just
the
be
floor.
The floor. Yes.
Yeah. But like it's in its wrapper.
Let's assume that this
thing,
is
right?
a garbage
it's wrapper.
Yes. We'll assume it's a garbage can candy bar.
Okay.
I think that is, if we have to go one way or the other, I feel like Occam's razor, this is a garbage can candy bar.
Okay, let's do that. That's
who's
easier.
Throwing away an unopened can? No.
The question is literally in the question.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying it's not like a half-eaten bag of popcorn.
Yeah, we know, Trav.
A candy bar is something.
But it's also in the question.
But what I'm saying is... You could just put it in your pocket and eat it later.
Yeah.
It's not a
like,
thing.
Yeah.
They don't
for
stop
sure.
you. It's not, there's not customs.
Like you would use for an unopened bottle of wine, for example. Like,
yeah,
thank
you.
Something
yeah.
like that.
That one gets me.
Hey, like, listen. Yeah. Hey, guys, step why over buy, here.
My
step
whole
over
thing
here
is,
for a second.
My whole thing is, why buy overpriced concessions?
Hey, guys.
Just to let it get thrown away. Like, why do
hey
that?
Hey, guys, can I talk to you for a second? Yeah. I know that you're mad at me about Mr. Nickname that I did earlier. I don't know why.
I'm a little mad. It was a. It didn't have it.
So
there
why
wasn't
are
much
you
there, man?
Fucking putting me on blast? I'm trying to riff.
You're trying to return to the themes of the question like a leitmotif. That's yes. not riffing. That's harmonizing with the ideas already presented.
So in of our generation, can I tell you a weird thing that pops in my head when you say this? For some reason,
I
think
Jermaine. Is yeah. it just confirm it's Jermaine?
For some cool. reason, I'm like, what if somebody injected drugs into this candy bar and left?
Yes,
it as
there
a
was
trap?
A lot of that kind of talk going around early on, for sure. Yeah.
And I don't know why my almost 40-year-old brain still worries about this, that someone would think, you know what's a great, here's a great trap. I'm going to inject drugs into a Twix bar, then throw it into a trash can, and then not be there to yeah. see if anything ever
oh,
comes
wow.
of this.
That's interesting, Travis. So by that logic, and I'm not saying it's bad logic, I'm kind of a fan, if a garbage can is the safest place to find a candy bar.
Yes.
Because yes. who's going to poison a candy bar and then throw it away?
You're saying it's hiding in plain sight.
If there was a little, like, alabaster pedestal with mm-hmm. a single wrapped Twix bar go. On it, that has been
that
placed
is a
there.
Trap.
That's a trap.
That's a trap. Thrown away? Discarded.
A garbage can, though, is safe.
Okay, I want to... I don't think there's any problem. I think food waste is a huge problem in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think if you want to eat a Twix bar, if it's been unwrapped and it's been in the trash and you
Wait,
give it a
no,
rinse
if
off.
It's still wrapped. If it's still wrapped.
If it's still wrapped, yes. It's been, it's been
unwrapped.
Wrapped.
It's been wrapped.
unwrapped, yeah.
Interesting.
If it's wrapped, that's the word. If it's wrapped, it's fine. I think the trouble you might have, though, is if I'm Mr. Big Movies, right? The guy, yeah, the yeah. boss of the whole deal.
That's what they call Tom Hanks. That's his nickname.
And I see one of my employees happily munching on a left Twix, a right Twix, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going to want to see some documentation to confirm the sale.
Absolutely.
You're not going to be able to convince me that somebody else earlier gave me money for that and then threw it in the trash can.
Yeah.
Occam's razor.
Yeah. We're huge on that one.
Suggests that. Probably not. Occam's razor.
Oh, what if you're eating a candy bar and inside you find an Occam's razor? That's dangerous.
I
you
hate
gotta be
Occam's
careful.
Always trying to get one over.
Yeah.
Hey, Justin, man. Good news. Movie theater managers, they don't watch people clean the movie. As long as you finish it before you exit the theater, you got to do it while you're working. You're safe. You're safe.
You're fine.
Okay.
They
don't check your work. Trust me.
We used to have, when I worked at the Blockbuster, we used to have to tape receipts to our Fruitopia. it was no joke over there.
Well, and it's that kind of cost-saving measures. That's why they're still thriving today, baby.
Yeah.
I threw away so many cups of dip.
Yep.
Snuff.
Snooze.
Snooze juice into trash cans while working at the movie theater. That this may be, you know, a sign of the times. I don't know if people are still. I haven't seen a person dip tobacco in many years. So I don't
Would
know.
You
if
say maybe perhaps you haven't seen a person dip tobacco since. Just running the math here, you left West Virginia.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same math, Jamie.
Yeah.
So that has instilled in me sort of a fear of like movie theater garbage cans that's a little bit more elevated than average. Most of the time, grab the Twix. Go wild. It is not poisoned. Hey, can we approach the wizard?
Yeah, Mr.
Yeah,
Magic.
I love that. Please.
Let's approach Mr. Magic. That's the name he wants to go by now. That's his SoundCloud. So this is how to create a cool email address. Get this. Sent in by Siobhan. Thanks, Siobhan.
Thanks, Siobhan.
Starting to think Siobhan maybe owns WikiHow and it, like, knows where all the best shit is. This is how to create a cool email address.
Oh, perhaps thank you.
Perhaps you're making your first email account and you want the name to be as cool as possible. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're tired of your current email and you want to use something more exciting. At any rate, cool means many things to many people, so you'll need to decide what you want your email address to say about you.
Oh, boy.
Consider the different types of cool email. Some emails look cool because they're kooky and unique. Others are cool because they're simple, classy, and professional. Still others find an engaging and original way to express your interests. You'll need to decide what you want your email address to say about you. No.
No.
I want all of those at the same time.
I would also say, WikiHow, if I knew what I wanted my email address to say about me, I wouldn't be searching WikiHow for how to make a cool email address. Like,
yeah.
If you're saying, oh, how to make a cool email address? Just make a cool
make
email
a cool
address.
One. Yeah.
Oh, my God. WikiHow.
I'm saying we can probably think of the perfect email address in this segment that is cool, kooky, unique, simple, classy, professional, engaging, says a lot about you. And
do you
your
want
interest?
Me to pull up the domains that we own? Do you think that could be a helpful tool in like plotting the perfect email address?
Oh, that's true, Justin. You have introduced that you could add a lot of different domains to it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That like the joke could be, you know, like.
Not a joke. This is a professional, kooky,
professional,
simple
right.
email address.
I tell you, Gmail has gone on an interesting trajectory.
Yeah.
A Gmail address used to, I feel like, show that you're kind of living free, living wild, doing your own thing, kind of getting silly.
Yeah.
Now, if I see an email address and it doesn't have Gmail at the end, I don't really trust you.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think you... I guess if it's a redirect, that's fine. If it's like a fake thing that goes to a Gmail address, that's fine. But when I see people who are like at Outlook or at sometimes that's guys fake. I see at Yahoo, and it's like, fake. What do? That's not you're not a real person.
I'm pretty sure my in-laws still use a Hotmail email account, which makes me think that they are crypto dark web drug dealers.
Yes.
On the sly.
Yeah. I would say that Hotmail is like a recognizable off-brand. We're like Kirkland, you know? It's like Kirkland.
I had a Hotmail before I had a Gmail,
Kirkland.
Though.
I still understand. I trust Kirkland, right? Even though it's not necessarily one of the big name brands. Then you get into some, right? I see people. I know a few people, guys, that still have @AOL.com at the end of their email addresses. I don't trust them. And I don't mean the email address. I mean, I don't trust the person. That person ain't checking their email. I'm throwing that email into the garbage directly.
Okay. A kooky email address could be anything from random words to a few of your basic interests. It could be kangaroogirl@example.com or caffeine.fiend.17@example.com.
Kangaroogirl@example.com. I would do anything. I would do anything to have that be my email address.
Just send that email address an email right now saying, any price to become you.
I'm just saying example@example.com would be a great email address to have.
It would be strong. Personality-based address might be something that speaks to some of your interests or values. For example, mellow.cello@example.com or because it's there@example.com.
Wait.
I don't know.
It's there?
A more professional address might be something that uses your business in an interesting sounding name. If your name is Billy Bones, you could use bbones@example.com. That's just one example. If your name's Billy Bones.
If your name is Billy Bones.
Or if your company is bigbones.com or maybe it's Bat Bones, you only sell Bat Bones. B Bones works for a lot of different things is what I'm saying.
Okay, I'm going to just start saying some email addresses suggested by this WikiHow article, okay? And you get them in a big batch, and they're all business emails.
I think we all
realize
that's the nug here at this point. Go
that's
on.
The nug. And then you tell me which one of these you're going to open up. This is going to be a multiple choice test. Okay, so you get an email address from kangaroogirl@example.com. You get one from bbones@example.com. You get one from kath.arsis@example.com. Which one of those are you cracking open?
B-Bones.
B-Bones for sure.
I'm not opening up calf.arsis.
No, that's no way. Think of a word that sounds interesting before or after your
interest. It's a play on catharsis, Justin. I saw your face. It's catharsis,
yeah, you
but
got
they threw
there.
A dot in the middle.
You could just incorporate your love of guitar into your email address. For instance, you could use guitardude97 or guitarjams@example.com.
Now, once again, I am opening Guitar Jams. I am not opening guitardude97. That's a fake. As soon as I see numbers in it nowadays,
I just want to say my email was returned to kangaroogirl@example.com. They said it doesn't exist. So I went to example.com, and you know what it is?
What?
It's just an example. just an example website.
Wait, hold on.
If you go to example.com, it says this is an example. Like, you shouldn't have come here. This is just as an example. Why did you come here?
How old?
Ain't nobody supposed to be here.
How old is this website?
Well, Trav, it was owned by, judging by the website, it was put up by some of the first people to ever do websites. And
this is like the 555555 of the internet.
You can use this example.com. It's just an example. Just an example. You're not supposed to really go in there.
Try combining two words to make one. For example, crocodile and rocket can be combined to make the word Betty Crocker. I don't think so.
All right. How about Bill Bones?
Bill Bones. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's short for Billy Bones.
Please, Billy Bones. Bilbo. Please, Billy Bones is my son. I'm
Call
Bill
me
Bones.
Bilbo. Call me Bilbo Swaggins.
Please, Mr. Bones is me.
Yeah.
I prefer it.
Please. Bones is my favorite TV show. Call me Billy.
Another good method is
Please,
to take a word.
This is a really fancy carnival. I'm Dr. Bones.
Another good method is to take a word you like, such as laser or turbo, and use it to describe another word, such as laser boulder or turbo candy. The word you're describing can be quite random. All right. Two emails come in. Ding, ding. Laserboulder@example.com, turbocandy@example.com. Which one do you open?
Oh, my God.
That's a toughie.
I think I'm going to open turbo candy because my brain can make six big leaps to figure out what that's describing. I don't know what a laser boulder is. Is it laser guided? Is it laser powered?
No one knows. No one knows. Try not to make a generic or random address. Avoid abstract numbers or birth years, as these are rather common and may take away from the originality of your address. Again, however, you might consider using more generic style elements if you plan to eventually use this email for professional purposes. So do it, but don't do it. But do it, unless you don't do it. James.Madison.98@example.com or JoeKSmith@example.com are examples of generic email addresses. On the other hand, they are simple and straightforward. It all comes down to what you think is cool. Yeah. What I think is cool is one that I can say out loud when introducing myself in some sort of business email situation and then not have to immediately follow it up with like an email like, okay, well, I was. So listen, in order for this to make sense, you have to know I was really, really into Incubus in college. Incubus 69. The number is, that is a sex joke.
Yeah, that wasn't the year I was born. I don't know if that was
clear. Not the year I was born. 87, personally. Incubus 87 was taken. So I typed in Incubus 69 as a joke to see if I could get it. And I did. And now it's my business professional email address. So, I mean, Griffin McElroy, the president of the United States of America.
Here's another suggestion. Don't have an email that you established, let's say maybe like 15, 16 years ago, that is not specific enough to even explain away that much, but more it was just like an empowering thing. Like, say you just made it and it was just like StephenRules@gmail.com, something like that,
sure.
But maybe contains the name Travis and a different word than rules. And then now flash forward to like that is your most established, that's where everything goes. That's not your business email, but it still is the email that when, for example, like you take your dog to the veterinarian and the veterinarian's like, where should we send the test results? And you have to say that email out loud.
You got to make a new email, pal.
Oh, but maybe you, for example, have like ADHD and you have a hard enough time remembering to check one email. And then you had to create a business one. And now you're not going to create a third one that you definitely will forget to check.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it will haunt you for the rest of your life to have to explain that it's not a reference to something so much as you just thought it sounded cool.
Yeah, sure. I don't want to talk about email addresses anymore.
Oh, who can blame you?
Although I do have some Q&As that are fun. Can I have more than one email address? Yes.
Yep.
I can answer
Don't
that.
Let the government find out.
How do I get another Outlook email name? It's been so long that I can't remember my login information. That's God's way of telling you.
Start
you
over.
You don't need to use Outlook. Yeah, start over on a different one. Is Crazy Bopper a good name?
That's one of the cues? They got
one
an
of the questions.
For that?
Is Crazy Bopper a good name? Answer, create a name that describes you or what you like to do. If you are, indeed, a Crazy Bopper, that is a good name.
It doesn't say that.
It does. If you are, indeed, a Crazy Bopper, that is a good name. Cool. 14 people found that answer helpful. 17 did not. I think it's...
Because those 17 were like, neither of those words describe me directly. What am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah, it perfectly fulfills everything that it set out to do.
Yeah, listen.
It answers the fuck out of that question.
Listen, yes, I'm crazy, but I don't like bobbing. I don't know what to do with this.
Can we go to mail?
Yeah, let's go.
Speaking of emails and websites and stuff, like, if you someday you'll buy example.com and it will not just be an example you use, but rather it will become the new ideal of what a website can be. It will become the platonic example website because you took that domain and you built that website with Squarespace. That's right, Squarespace. Use it to build the website that all other websites will strive to be, because it is the all-in-one platform for building your brand and growing your business online. You can stand out with a beautiful, perfect website, engage with your audience, and sell anything. Your products, your content you create, and even your time. You can create pro-level videos effortlessly because now they have a Squarespace Video Studio that helps you make and share engaging videos. They have powerful blogging tools. Powerful. I know. You're scared, but don't be. Come with me. And they're optimized for mobile. Content automatically adjusts so your site looks great on any device. Head to squarespace.com/mybrother for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, use offer code MYBROTHER, all one word, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace, change the internet for the better today.
I mean, I could talk about Babbel.
Yeah, do it.
I mean, you know me, I'm always about sort of a big reset for myself and trying to, like, reinvent myself and make myself better mentally, physically, socially, spiritually.
Yeah.
I can't think of a better way to do that than, like, learning a new language, because that opens the door for a lot of travel opportunities for me that I'm pretty excited about in 2023.
Where do you want to travel to, Griffin? What's your number one destination? Top of your mind.
My number one destination, top of my mind?
Yeah.
Moon?
Yep. That's mine too, bud.
You said number one.
Yeah, man. Listen, there's no judgment here.
You can't take it back.
And what are you going to do?
Actually, number one, heaven.
Yeah.
So I can...
That's on the other side of the moon that we can't see, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm really excited. They're doing they're watching Green Mile on Wednesday, and I want to kick with Bob Hoskins and just sort of pick his brain.
You know what I
so
heard?
Babbel.
In heaven, they only speak French.
It's true. If you want to get to heaven, you have to use Babbel. That was the lesson that they learned so long ago when they made their cool tower. Thanks to Babbel's fun and easy bite-sized language lessons, you're going to feel like you're in heaven. By how confident you feel, no matter where the new year takes you. Was that a confusing sentence? Yeah, maybe a little bit.
But if it had been in French, it would have sounded beautiful.
It was the conjugation and the localization that kind of chewed that one up. But with Babbel, you only need 10 minutes to complete a lesson. So you can start having real-life conversations in a new language in as little as 3 weeks. You can access podcasts, games, videos, stories, even live classes with Babbel. Plus, it comes with a 20-day money-back guarantee. You make it, 19 days in, you're like, actually, I'm fine with how I talk now. No big deal. Right now, you can get up to 55% off your subscription when you go to babbel.com/mybrother. That's BABBEL.com/mybrother for up to 55% off your subscription. Babbel, language for life.
Hey there, beautiful people. I am your favorite authoress, Trayvell Anderson, of We See Each Other, a Black trans journey through TV and film.
You know this is supposed to be a promo for our show, Fanti, and not your book, right?
It's called Multitasking.
I can't with you right now. Trayvell and I have an award-winning show called Fanti that we both host, and it's a podcast where we dig into the complex and complicado conversations about the gray areas in our lives.
Perhaps there is a public figure of some sort, and you're like, oh, that person's so smart and so charming, but you're also like, that person gets on my nerves.
Okay. You can catch us every week right here on Max Fun or wherever you get your Slayworthy audio.
And you can watch us on the YouTube every Friday.
That's Fanti, F-A-N-T-I.
Since we reached our highest milestone during the Max Fun Drive, we are creating a Max Fun Foley library full of sound effects from your favorite hosts. The whole Max Fun community will be able to use it. So, what would you like it to feature? People high-fiving? Walking through mud? Chicken clucking? Jazz kazoo? Head to MaximumFun.org/Foley. That's MaximumFun.org/FOLEY and submit your ideas. We're excited to make this silly thing together, and even more excited to see what you all create with it. And thank you again for a great Max Fun Drive.
Who wants another question?
I do.
Can you be a little bit more sure? I do. Give it to me. I'm a teenager who sometimes spends their free time listening to podcasts while doing Sudoku puzzles.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yes.
And presumably fending off suitors, because that sounds like a cool vibe. I recently bought a new book of them, which said the difficulty went from very easy to very hard. While I regularly do what I thought was medium difficulty puzzles in a few minutes, this book put what seems like medium to hard difficulty throughout the book with seemingly no difficulty changes, to the point that I got stuck on the first puzzle. This was supposed to replace a booklet I already finished, so it's not like I'm terrible at them, and my mom agrees that the book is mislabeled.
Yep.
The book teaches you how to do them at the beginning, so it's not like it's made for...
Go on.
Is this the level of specificity that we are at now?
Yes. Tell me where the fucking... Tell me if the candy bar's in the garbage can. This is good. Don't laugh at this. This is good.
This is helpful. This is the amount of information we now need in the year 2023 to answer questions correctly.
Yes.
It's true. We have asked for... We begged for content.
Yes.
The book also teaches you how to do them at the beginning, so it's not like it's made for people who are already experts at it.
Good.
The very easy title at the top of each page mocks me each time I open it. What would you do in this situation? That's from Sudoku Sucker.
I mean, are you busting out? What kind of strategies are you working with?
Yeah. You're not dealing with a pen. I have to assume you're not dealing with a pen. Right?
I mean, I'm more talking about, are you like coming at it on the X and the Y axis?
Are you do the numbers in the corners?
That's huge. Are you doing this? Are you pulling a swordfish?
Don't put 11 in there.
No.
Nope.
That's a rookie mistake. It's a rookie mistake. That's an ABC the rookie mistake. Starring Nathan Fillion.
No letters, too. Thank you, Travis.
Yeah.
If you start to put letters in the blocks, you need to stop. And you need to look at it and realize that that's not how Sudoku works.
I've had the opposite end of this problem before where I bought a Sudoku book in, I've had a connection flight. And I see that book in the Hudson News. And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And then I'm flying through the first 20. And I'm like, I'm a genius. And then look and I'm like, oh, it's Sudoku for a beginner. What was I thinking?
Yeah,
it's
baby Sudoku.
This is a baby Sudoku. Like 10% is all that's left to fill in. Like most of they filled in all the ones and through eights. And I just had to write nines in there. This is nothing.
Sydney forgot an activity on a plane that we were on together, which is just to me beyond unfathomable.
Yeah.
I have a very deep bench of activities. So always. I was able to give her an activity to do to kind of, and it was a Sudoku app that I had.
Is it good Sudoku?
Yes, it was good Sudoku.
Good Sudoku is the best app. I play that shit all the time.
And then Sydney, after the flight, which is about 2 hours long, says to me like, hey, you got really good at Sudoku during that. I was like, oh, really? And I pulled my phone out to see like where I was at. And it's just like a big square with like a three in it somewhere. It's like, I don't know, man, fucking go for it. She's like orchestrating it from her mind. It gave me a headache just to look at it.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure it
out. Is that
there
when
are
you,
some hard Sudokus.
Is that when you realize that your wife is smarter than you?
Well, no, that she's willing to put the work in.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
Here's something they don't tell you about Sudoku is that if you're ever doing it and you're like thinking you're crushing it, but then you look and there's like one row that has like two fives in it. If it's just the one time, it's okay. If you have to break the basic fundamental rules of Sudoku to finish it, like once or twice even, It's fine. That's okay.
I have found that Sudoku is a microcosmic example of like exactly like a representative of my commitment to things, which is like, I'm good at this. I'm nailing it. I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. I'm flying through. Wait a minute. This one doesn't match up. I could go back through and spend a lot of time figuring out where I messed up, or I could just turn the page and start a new one.
Yeah, just go on. You made a mistake. Yeah.
I made a mistake. That's enough to make me not care about this puzzle I just put 45 minutes into.
It's pretty hard to make Sudoku funny, I'm realizing now, because it's basically a math crossword puzzle.
Yeah, what about...
it's a crossword puzzle with math in it.
What if you called it Pudoku because you did it on the toilet?
That's good. Or
that's still not a joke.
Sudoku.
That's closer? Better, actually.
Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about something else, huh?
Yeah.
That sound good?
I forgot Justin fucking hates Sudoku, I guess.
Yeah, man.
I play pickleball at my local community center. The entry fee is $2 a night. Last week, I didn't plan ahead and only had $1.40 in change. I gave what I had, thinking it wouldn't be a big deal. But then I overheard the person counting the money next to me, asking around who had done this, complaining that someone shorted them 60 cents and that they hated change. I pretended it wasn't me out of panic, but now I'm torn. I was going to give an extra 60 cents next time, but I feel like that would anger them more, as it would be even more change and look like someone had shorted them again. I could give them extra cash, but that feels over the top for such a simple mistake. Do I fess up and explain the situation? Pay the extra money? That's from In a Pickle in Oregon.
I mean, it's not a simple mistake. You shorted them 30%.
Yeah.
30%. Now listen, out of $2, that's not that much. But if you were buying a brand new car and you only paid 70% and expected to get away with that, look out, because I'm coming for you.
If someone's already only asking $2, which is a wild amount to ask for anything, in any regard, then this is a person who has really gone through the dollars and cents of the situation.
Yeah.
This person has said, I know how many people are coming to play pickleball. I'm not getting out of bed for less than $2 a person.
Yeah.
So now, you're going to give me my full fee.
This is my thinking on it, Justin.
Yeah.
It is a nominal amount that is inconvenient enough to create a barrier to people who don't really want to play pickleball, but want to, like, I don't know, goof around or whatever, but not so high that people who do want to play pickleball will be like, well, I can't.
$2 is basically like a qualifying scavenger hunt.
Yes.
That you have to do to qualify to come. You have to jump through a few hoops. You have to get a ring or a crystal, you know, whatever. Sure.
Right, whatever.
I was trying to think if you really were going to Danny Ocean this. Because let's be honest, like, there's a sick thrill that you're chasing for, like, getting a little something extra, right?
We're disgusted. Obviously,
we're disgusted by your
that's clear, obviously. Right? Okay, you're the worst of the worst.
If you really wanted to be a sneaky, dirty fucking thief, then introducing change into the equation at all is, of course, the wrong thing to do.
Yes.
That would be like if Danny Ocean stole the big crystal football from the vault and then left a real tiny football, like a tiny Nerf football in its stead. A crime took place here. So I was thinking, like, is it better if you just give $1? But then whoever counts out the till at the end of the night is going to be, there's an odd number. This is, something has gone terribly sour. So I guess not paying at all is the best option in that situation.
Okay, how are we doing that, though? How are we getting away with that?
Now, Justin, obviously, there's not a human being taking this money in their hand from you when you walk in, or else the change would have been discovered right away. I'm betting, at best, decorative shoebox.
Are we thinking, like, honor system? Is that where we're at?
I think that's what we're doing here.
It's got to be.
Okay. These are,
I don't know how
details.
Else they could put change
these
in the box.
The details that would be helpful in the future.
Boy, howdy, $2 is not very much money to play pickleball all night, it seems like.
It seems like a really fair price. If this is I mean, it's,
maybe
it
an unfair
fair.
Price. Maybe next time walk up, hand him a $5 bill and say, know your worth. Come on, you're providing pickleball services. Value yourself.
If you really want to rectify this situation and give extra cash next time without adding more change to the situation, I think you're going to have to give him $3 and eat the extra 40 cents.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe say like, hey, do you remember like a week ago when somebody only gave $1.60 or $1.40? Man, that has been eating me up. And you know what? I'm going to fix this right here. Here you go. This is for whatever piece of human scum gave you change. And not even good change. Not even two quarters. But it sounds like maybe a quarter, a dime, and a nickel. I don't know, man.
That's so many different size coins to just have in your pocket.
Or four dimes, which guarantees at least one of them's getting lost in the shuffle because they're so little.
Sure.
Which coin would you guys eat?
Eat? Dime.
Which coin makes you
a dime would get through
the hungriest, Justin. That's not the question. I'm not hungry for the
that
I'm
is the
saying
question. I'm asking the question. I'm saying which coin makes you which coin do you want to eat the most?
The most?
Which coin do you want? It's not heart.
A gold coin dollar coin.
Do you want to eat the most?
The gold dollar coins because they remind me of gelts.
And at the end of the day.
That's very good.
At the end of the day, no matter what, if you eat a coin, you're going to have a bad Thursday. Like, you're not going to, it's going to be not good to have the coin inside you. With a gold dollar, at least when it's done, you have a dollar.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a way to answer this question where it's like, it's all going to be bad. So for me, actually, it's going to be a 1941 Buffalo nickel or whatever. That's value is, you know, it trades at $16,000 on the. So I actually solved your puzzle the best way possible, Juice. I'm going to go with the 1941 Buffalo nickel.
I mean, a dime would be less intrusive.
It would be less intrusive,
situation.
Travis, but then can you sell it for $16,000 at the big coin conventions?
No. Yeah.
No, absolutely you can't, can you? That's about, Trav, $16,000? I'll buy a lot of pickleball. Approximately 8,000 pickleball matches. So
You should go in, oh my God. What if you go in with like $50 in quarters.
Whoa.
And you're like, this should pickleball everyone for the night, I believe.
Oh, that's cool.
And you give them like all the quarters.
Is it that in rolls at least?
Yeah. No.
Oh.
Piles. Baggies with odd numbered.
Yeah, that'll $50 of quarters is not, I mean, that's five rolls of quarters. Like, you could hold that in your hand. You understand
that,
right?
It's not that impressive, right?
No.
That's also, though, Justin, once again, probably a volunteer, maybe a gym employee who's not getting paid enough because they're only charging $2 for a pickleball court. And you're like, yeah, really? So this is like when someone's like, I got a parking ticket, so I paid it all in pennies. And I'm like, hey, at no point were those pennies a problem for the person who gave you a parking ticket. You know that, right? Like, you're not paying the pennies to the person who wrote the ticket. What, Justin, I'm confused as to who this quarter scenario is sticking it to.
It's just like, you know, it's kind of like standing up for yourself.
Yeah.
To who, though?
You don't have to stand up to somebody to stand up for yourself. That's something I've been saying a lot lately.
So, but then you're just standing up.
Yeah, but you don't have to stand up to somebody to stand up for yourself.
See, Justin, how two and four are the opposing words there, right? I'm standing up for me to you.
So you get it.
Okay.
I'm going to say the 1999 Delaware statehood quarter silver PR70 deep cameo PCGS. They only made 804,000 of these babies.
Hey, before you go through your coins and sell them off, make sure to look for one that's been through Griffin's intestines. That one's going to be worthless.
It's going to be worth $17,250.
Now, Griffin, don't you think the patina is going to be a little bit different on that one?
It could
be
better.
Has changed slightly.
You
to a
do
poutina?
Not know. You do not. Very good. You Thank do you. Not know what my sort of stuff that I have going on in there would do to the finish on a metal coin.
Do you think it would increase like those coffee beans that, like, I think it's lemurs eat or something, and it comes out and people are like, "This is the best."
Maybe, perhaps.
But here's the problem, Griffin. Once that happens, people are going to be knocking down your door. Coming in and be like, eat my coin. No, eat my coin. I need...
It's not the me passing it through my body that does it, Trav.
Yeah,
it's
you're not
the fact that this is original run state quarter program, 1999 Delaware statehood quarter.
But you think it's going to go in and come out at the same price? No change, no fluctuation whatsoever.
Travis, Justin asked me what goddamn coin I wanted to eat. Yeah. I am telling him the coin I want to eat is the 1999 Delaware statehood quarter. They only made $804,000 and they trade for $17,250. I have to eat
$804,000 of them?
$804,000.
That's so many.
That's a lot.
Sounds like it. They made 350 million Pennsylvania ones. So,
Okay, wait. Hold on. How many did they make?
804,000 Delaware statehood quarters traced for $17,250. I'm eating that one.
$17,250.
Yes.
Because half of that.
$1,000.
Yeah. 402,000 of those, Justin, got turned into little cowboy hat shaped quarters.
Yeah.
So that already made them pretty rare.
What's the price again? What's the price they're trading at?
$17,250 for this quarter. Yeah, I think I'll eat that one. Thank you very much.
So that. Okay. Okay, that is a value of $13 trillion. that cannot be accurate. What you're saying to me cannot be accurate.
Oh, you're saying if you add all those quarters up together, sold them all at once, you're a trillionaire.
That's $13 trillion. That's more than our GDP. What you're saying cannot be accurate.
I'm not.
Unless someone took 803,000 of them and threw them in a lake.
Or ate them.
Or ate them, thank you.
This is not. Listen to me now.
Delaware quarters.
This is not some genie's wish where you have said, what I'm respecting the boundaries of the question. You said, what coin do you want to eat? I didn't say, I want to eat all 804,000 of the Delaware statehood quarters worth approximately $60 trillion. That way, when I shit out these 804,000 quarters, I'll be a literal trillionaire.
Because Griffin, right. can I ask what your metric? What was your search terms? Because in 5 seconds, I found the 1894 SPR 66BM Barber dime, a dime that's worth $1,997,500.
You're kidding me.
You're not listening to what I'm saying.
So that's a dime, Griffin.
Okay, but that's a pirate's gold doubloon found at the bottom of that's at the heart of the ocean.
Oh, so you're saying there's an approachability here?
There's an approachability to the 1999 Delaware statehood quarter.
There can't be $13 trillion of these quarters anywhere, Griffin. I'm saying something's wrong.
No, Justin, there's not. There's $200,000 worth of these quarters.
Now, let me say this. There. Griffin, let's compare. For Justin, Justin, to your point, the 1975 PR68 Roosevelt dime, right?
I only want to talk about coins now, by the way.
There were 2,845,000 and then some proofs produced in San Francisco, right? But two of them came without the S on it, making them worth $456,000.
Okay.
That seems good. So, Travis, you eat one, I'll eat the other one.
No, I need to know how many of Griffin's special quarters had something wrong with them to justify the price tag.
I mean, what was wrong with them is that they didn't think that Delaware statehood quarter is going to be the fucking hot item of Christmas.
Do you understand what Travis said to me is there's two coins that are each worth like $1 million.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me, okay? Yeah. You can't tell me what I'm saying to you. I don't care about you eating them. I remember you eating them for the picture. I was saying you can't tell me there's 840,000 of these coins rolling around, and each one is worth $17,000.
Yeah, there's just so many coins out there, guys.
This makes the problem worse. If these were the only coins in the world, I could start to get there, maybe.
Right.
If this is our only system of storing value,
right.
I could understand there being $13 trillion worth of these quarters.
I know. I think we both understand what the other one is saying. I think that Travis's answer was a little bit cheating just because there's no way we're going to get our hands on two of these coins. I feel like I could probably source one of these $17,000 coins, eat it, and then resell it.
It sounds like you could comfortably source hundreds of thousands of them before you start to
there are coin people listening to this right now, and they're hearing what you're saying, and then they're hearing what I'm saying, and they're thinking, like, maybe I'm wrong about which one is the smart McElroy brother. For me, though, saying that I'm it, that
you're the smart one,
that I'm it.
I can't think of a fireplace.
Wait, up until now, Griffin, which one did they think was that?
I guess Justin in this example.
But why
Justin,
wasn't it me?
And did you notice?
Hey, why didn't you jump right to Justin?
Well, did you notice that he didn't even answer his own question?
Yeah, what coin would you eat, smart
What
guy?
Coin would you eat, funny? And make it, hey, Juice, and make it fucking funny.
No, it was not a joke. I'm saying dimes make me kind of hungry.
That's perverted.
That's fucked up. I don't want to
eat
this
dimes
coin.
Generally, not a specific dime.
Yeah.
It's worth a made up amount of money.
I cool. do want to eat Scrooge's number one dime.
That would be, yeah. Well, you could... Again, ransom.
Do you think Scrooge pays income tax?
Ooh. Ooh.
Doesn't seem like he would, right?
Doesn't seem like he would, does it?
I mean, this is a man who won't give away a dime.
Yeah.
The idea that once a year he sits down and gives the government a big hunk of his money, out of the question.
Well, I think probably IRS auditor shows up to his house like, you have to, and he's like, oh, come on this way. I'm my swamp. And then you go into his vault and it's just a big fucking silo filled with coins. And he's like, good luck.
Yeah.
Figure out how much I've
they
got.
They don't talk about this on the show. The first third of that, the bottom third of that stack is all IRS agent bodies that he's buried underneath.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Coins.
Exactly.
In Uncle Scrooge Adventures number 14,
yeah.
Scrooge gained independence from the United States. For Kilmotor Hill, where I guess he lives.
Kilmotor
so he did,
Hill?
He did secede from the nation.
Cool duck. Yes. Cool duck. Didn't yeah. know Duckburg was in America.
Yeah, it wasn't America, but until it wasn't anymore, and it became its own nation cool. that seceded from the
U.S. Well, guess what, Scrooge? We're coming for your ass.
Yeah,
because bloodless... guess what, Scrooge? These colors don't run. I don't know what colors you're working with now, Scrooge, but now you now you woke up the bear. Now you woke up the bear, and we're coming.
The we're Beagle coming. Boys are American heroes trying to collect...
Trying to collect
taxes so that we can single-handedly fund... like single-payer healthcare in America yeah. by just getting Scrooge's tax. Think about how many problems would be solved if we were able to collect tax payments from Scrooge McDuck.
Yes. You know who the single-payer is? Scrooge McDuck.
Scrooge
he's
McDuck?
Just not, he's just not doing it.
He's a real piece of shit.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you have enjoyed yourself. We're going to be Travis, San Jose and Denver, right? Have you heard about this?
I have heard about this, Justin. Yeah. yeah.
These shows right. are next week.
Yeah, because we're doing Adventure Zone April 27th in San Jose with Abria Iyengar. We're doing My Brother and Me in San Jose on April 28th. And then Denver, April 29th, we're doing My Brother and Me. This was rescheduled, so this is still part of our Fancy Takes Flight tour. It's the last part, but there are still some tickets available if you haven't gotten those yet. So come out and see us. And then the 20 Sun and Sea Surf the Vibe Tour in Columbus, Milwaukee, Raleigh, North Carolina, Richmond, Virginia, San Diego, California. Get those tickets at bit.ly/McElroyTours.
Thank you to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You. That's the one that I play before all the kids' softball games to like really get the team fired up and ready for
like, so cool. Get them pumped.
Get them plump. Get them
hey,
pumped.
Guys. Here's a fun one. Imagine this. Which is better? This is said by Jack Johnson, surfer musician, Jack Johnson, the boxer.
Let's see.
Slow down, everyone. You're moving too fast.
That? Maybe he was trying to box a bunch of people at once.
Okay, hey.
Possible.
I'm trying to punch you.
Hey, slow down.
Stop moving.
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, me, kiss your dad, square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.